You know, being a father now, I want to say that I'm like that perfect dad that is always attentive and present with my kid, but I'm not. I struggle with it. You know, no one has the ability to pull you back into the present like kids do. You know, Zion, he's kind of gone through a speech explosion recently where he's just been saying all sorts of ridiculous things that I don't know where he learned it from. Probably me or my wife, probably my wife. But I remember this week when I was hanging out with him, he's kind of in this phase where I think his love language is physical touch. I feel like I'm pretty sure it is, because when I'm hanging out with him and like he's playing and like I pull up my phone, immediately he'll be like, "Appa, right here, big hug." And it's like literally 5-10 times a day, whenever I pick up my phone, "Appa, right here, big hug." And you know, if he were to choose to give a hug to me and my wife, he obviously chooses my wife, but no one has that ability to pull you back into the present like kids do. And if we were to be completely honest with ourselves, most of us struggle being fully present with others, especially those who are most important to us. Right? We struggle being present with our friends, our family members, our partners, our kids, our coworkers, our neighbors. Yeah, it's the person hanging out with a friend, zoned out, thinking about all the things that they need to get done during the week instead of engaging. It's the parents on their phone while at the playground with their kid. It's the spouse who's thinking of the next thing they're going to say in response to their partner instead of actually listening to and hearing their partner. It's the group of Gen Z friends at In-N-Out eating together, all on their mobile devices, not saying a single word to one another, right? We all have a hard time being present with one another. I don't know if you remember, but Chick-fil-A did this whole campaign a number of years back where at every table in their restaurant, they had this box. And the promotion was, if you can place all of your phones in that box for the entire meal without opening it, every single person got a free ice cream cone. And I remember thinking, genius, but also kind of sad. Like, have we gotten to the place, you know, we're in trouble when we need to be incentivized not to look at our phones and to actually talk to one another while we eat. You know, we're in a collection of teachings called Here Now. And our goal in this collection is to learn the art of being more present in our lives, more present with ourselves, more present with God, and ultimately more present with others, so that we can experience the abundant life that God has for us in the here and now. You know, we've been talking about living lives attentive to God, cultivating what we call the holy noticing, being present enough to notice God in the here and now, to notice his divine rhythms and movements in our everyday mundane lives. But how many of you know that a life attentive to God always leads to a life attentive to others? One of my favorite pastors and the author or the writer of the Message translation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson, he said, one of the immediate changes that the gospel makes is grammatical. We instead of I, our instead of my, us instead of me. Around 50 times in the New Testament alone, Jesus and the apostles, they tell us to feel, to say, or to do something to one another. To care for one another, to bear with one another, to honor one another, to sing to one another, to do good to one another, to forgive one another. And the one command that combines and binds it all, to love one another. And the thing I want to propose to you today is this, that there is abundant life that you and I are missing out on when we aren't present in the relationships that God has placed in our lives here and now. And so don't you want that, church? Don't you want to tap into that life and beauty that God has for us in the people he's placed around us? You know, Jesus didn't really have this problem. Jesus, unlike us, always lived in the present. He was always present with people. He was always able to notice those who went unnoticed. If you remember, Jesus noticed Bartimaeus, a blind beggar in the middle of a big crowd, and he healed him. Jesus noticed Zacchaeus way up in a tree and invited him to a meal. Jesus noticed the woman at the well who everyone intentionally ignored and judged and showed her who she truly was. Jesus noticed the woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment in the middle of a crowd and healed her. And one of the most well-known stories about Jesus was when in the middle of his teaching, right in the middle of his sermon, he was interrupted in Matthew 19, 13 through 15. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. What I love about this story is Jesus was present enough to notice that right in the middle of his teaching, right in the middle of his sermon, there was a greater opportunity before him. You know, many years ago when we used to meet in this space, people all brought their dogs. And I remember one service, one of the dogs got loose in the middle of my sermon and was doing laps around the building here in this very sanctuary. I don't know if you remember that, Josh. That was a holy moment, y'all. I should have stopped the sermon. I should have prayed for the dog. He was demon possessed. No, but Jesus, he was present enough to know in the middle of everything going on that there was a greater opportunity before him. And he welcomed in and embraced the children, the ones that were often unnoticed and forgotten. In all of these instances and more, Jesus could have carried on business as usual. He could have finished his sermon. He could have continued on with his travels. He could have focused on the task at hand, but he didn't. Why? Jesus was present in the moment. Jesus was present enough to notice these holy opportunities, present enough to notice people in need, present enough to know people's struggles. And the challenge I want to present to us today is, what if we could be like the perfect noticer? What if we could be present enough to notice others the way that Jesus did? What if you were present enough to sense something off about your friend during your hangout that led to a conversation that they really needed? What if you were present enough to stop and listen to your partner's struggle rather than trying to fix it or them, leading to a deeper connection between the both of you? What if you noticed that person at church who wasn't really connecting with anyone and sparked a conversation with them that made them feel at home? You know who's really good at that? John and Soph. You know, I always rag on them. They're in the back today. Perfect. We could highlight them. John and Soph, you know, they're so good at reaching out. Like when someone new comes, they're not even part of guest experience. When someone new comes, I know, I can almost guarantee for certain that they're getting dinner with John or Soph in like the next few days or in the next week. Like they're just so good at noticing people here in the present moment. You know, we think what people need most are our gifts, our talents, our words, our resources. But I would argue that what people often need most is our presence. Think about this. When God saw a world in need, he didn't send money or resources or a sermon down from heaven. He sent himself. Henry Nguyen, he once said, "Caring means, first of all, to be present with each other, offering one's own vulnerable self to others as a source of healing. One does not need to be useful as much as to be present. To be present is to listen and to identify with each other as mortal, fragile human beings who need to be heard and sustained by one another, not distracted or entertained." Love begins with us being present with one another, offering our vulnerable selves to others as a source of healing. This is why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, "So we cared for you, and because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." Man, how amazing, how incredible would the church be if we really got that and stopped just preaching at people and actually offered our whole selves, our presence, our lives to people instead of trying to like cram a gospel message down their throats. You know, I've been in ministry nearly half my life, and I can attest that more than the offering of prayers or prophetic words, the offering of our whole lives is what truly transforms people. You know, little known fact, a little spicy tea. Me me and Krista, before we dated, we were really good friends in college. And actually, Krista was in a long-term relationship with my best friend for like 4 years. And in the middle of that, I know it sounds spicy, but he ended up being one of the groomsmen in my wedding party. So all is beautiful. All is good. Weird, fun story. But during those 4 years when they were, I was their biggest fan. And I had gone through a really tumultuous breakup with actually Krista's friend and Krista's roommate. We were dating each other's housemates. Weird. But I ended up breaking up with her in like 3 months. And I was heartbroken. I like fell head over heels in love with her. And you know what's funny? The space that I often went to when I was in my lowest of lows was Krista and my best friend Phil's place. And so, you know, I would go up, I'd show up, and I'd be on their couch. And they would be like comforting me together. Like, Mickey, it's okay. Krista would be like, one day you'll meet the right girl. Don't worry. More than anything that they could offer me, I remember the saving grace in that season was presence. You know, have you ever been in a low place? And it's like you meet up with your pastor or your church leader, and they're like throwing Bible verses at you. And it's not really what you need. But then you go out with a friend, and they're just with you. They offer their presence, and it hits different. I think we need to learn that. The question I want to challenge you with today is, who has God placed in your life that you can be present for? Maybe there's someone you know who needs the gift of your whole self more than you think. But the thing I really want to touch on today, and we're going to continue this thought next week, what this requires of us, first and foremost, is to show up. In elementary school, when the teacher did roll call and they said your name, you would respond what? Present, right? Present. If we want to be more present with people in our lives, we have to start by actually being present. We have to actually show up. What does it say about an omnipresent God who can literally be anywhere at any time, to limit himself to the same constraints of time and proximity that we have? To limit himself to only be able to be in one place at one time, just like us. I think one of the reasons why God came down in flesh was to show us the nature of his love. It's a love that requires presence, a love that requires proximity, a love that intentionally shows up. I don't know if you remember the pandemic years of trying to do church, but it was hell. And we learned coming out of pandemic, there's something about being together physically in a place together, showing up, being in proximity with other believers that can't be replicated on Zoom. God bless Zoom, but Zoom is second rate. It's B class. It's wish.com of church, okay? It's not the real thing. I know we had people that worked at Wish. I'm just joking, okay? It's no coincidence that only once was Jesus recorded as having healed someone when he wasn't physically there with them. And that was to highlight the power of faith. Think about that. Jesus literally could be walking and he could be like, oh, I heard someone sick overseas, healed. He could have just done that. But every other time Jesus healed or performed the miracle, minus that one time, he showed up. Matthew 18:20. For there, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. There's something special about how God shows up when we show up together. Yes, God shows up powerfully in our personal lives. I have no doubt that God, he's moving in your personal life at home, in your devotion time, in your reading of scripture, in your worshiping in the car. I have no doubt that God shows up personally, but there's something different about how God shows up when we show up together. You know, one of the famous stories of the early church, after Jesus died and he rose again and he ascended to heaven, the disciples were waiting for Jesus' promised gift to them. And so day after day, they would actually gather together in one place and they would pray and they would fellowship to be with one another. And they were waiting for this promised gift from Jesus. And they did this for 50 days. And then on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1 says, they were all together in one place when the Holy Spirit fell and filled them up and baptized them. It was the fire that lit up the world, that spread the gospel to every corner of the earth. And this moment didn't just change them, it changed the world. But I wonder what would have happened if the disciples weren't in the room where it happened. I wonder what they would have missed out on had they not shown up together. What the world would have missed out on had they not been there. I think it was Gretzky who once said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You can't be happy where you're not. You can't love people where you're not. You can't serve Jesus where you're not. You can't experience belonging where you're not. You can't help others where you're not." You know, I think I've been a part of like 592 different community groups by now, and all of them have been really cool and good and special in their own unique way. But if I'm being real, there's only a handful of them that like really stuck out. Come on, some of you who've been in church, you know, there's some seasons that just hit different. There's only a handful of them that were truly exceptional and magical. You know, I still haven't cracked the secret formula for cooking up an amazing community group. Dan has, so you should join CG, but I haven't. But I can tell you this, in every exceptional community group that I've been a part of, there was a group of people who showed up consistently. Every single time. It didn't always hit because we were consistent, but every time it was because we showed up. And it's not like every time we got together, it felt magical. There were weeks where it felt like nothing was happening. We're like, okay, these people are really weird. I'm not getting along with them. It feels awkward. But over time, we began to recognize how God was showing up when we showed up. It's the power of being present. It's the power of showing up. One of the most like random, weirdest community groups I was ever a part of was right before I got married. I was in a group with other single men, and the group was very eclectic, to say the least. We had me, who was like getting ready to get married and be a pastor. We had another guy who was like super younger than us. We had one guy who was literally a gang-banging Christian rapper who had tats all over his body. And I remember it was so awkward because we'd be sitting down and everyone would be sharing like, "Oh, what's something really hard you went through?" I was like, "Yeah, you know, like I had daddy issues growing up. My dad, he wasn't around, he was working. And so I didn't really get to play football or do anything with him." And then this guy would share, he's like, "Yeah, I remember when I had to roll up my friend's dead body in a carpet and we had to carry it across the city and throw it over the fence because the police were," and I was like, "Whoa." And I remember every time we got together, we had these weird jarring moments like that where we were so different, where we were from such different worlds. But you know what's crazy? Every person in that group, we showed up consistently. And over time, this chemistry started to form. And it became one of the most memorable, fun experiences of community group that I've ever experienced in my entire life. I hope that guy's still rapping. He was amazing in our community. You know, the power of showing up. I feel like our community actually does this really well. I don't know if you know Nick, but I remember Mel and John, we were doing a courthouse wedding in San Francisco City Hall. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, they didn't invite people to come. So I don't know how Nick heard about them. It was just supposed to be me and them and one of their witnesses. And then we did everything. And then all of a sudden, Nick shows up out of nowhere. I'm like, "Nick, what are you doing here?" He's like, "Oh, I heard John and Mel were getting married, so I just wanted to come support them." And it's like one of the, he wasn't really invited, but he was like, I was like, I'm just kidding. I think he was invited. You know who else, it's so funny, the people aren't here what I'm talking about, but you know who does this really well too? Daniel and Gianna. You know, they have baby Brooklyn. You'll learn this, but when you become a parent, going to things requires way more than you think. Like Fatai, you know, right? It's actually a sacrifice. Like when I go to events, like I'm going in obedience to the Lord. It's hard. Like when you have a kid, like I went to Becca and Richard's party yesterday, which was off the hook, by the way. And the whole time Zion, he's trying to grab gingerbread cookies. And he ate like six of them, which is really not good for a 2-year-old. But every time I'm trying to be in a conversation with someone, I look over and he's grabbing another one. I'm like, "Zion, no, no." But he already touched it, so someone's got to eat it. So I ate like six, he ate like six. And I'm just trying to be present. But you know, Daniel and Gianna, what's crazy is, like, I swear, every event, they're there with baby Brooklyn. Even, like, I swear, like, me and Krista, when we had our first kid, like, we took so much time apart from going to church because it's such an ordeal. You have no idea how much it takes to get the kids here. Krista is amazing, right? She does that every morning. But I remember Daniel and Gianna, when we first met them, they brought a little baby. I was like, how old is she? She's like, oh, like 6 weeks. Girl, you should be at home resting, like healing. What are you doing here at church? Like, get out of here. But they're so good at showing up, at being present. I can go on and on about so many people in our community. I feel like we do this really well. You know, I brag about you guys to all my pastor friends. I don't know if you believe me, but I really do. But all that to say, never underestimate the power of showing up. Showing up to the party that person is throwing. Showing up to the play that person is in. Showing up to the meal that person invited you to. Showing up to that person's album release party, even though their music's whack. Whatever it might be. Showing up. All these are opportunities for us to be present for one another, to embody the love of God. You know, I just got to shout out Richard and Becca. They threw this amazing Christmas party yesterday, and it was so good. Like, Zion had so much fun. I was impressed. It was amazing. All those are spaces and opportunities for us to show up and to be present for one another. I have a bit of a pastoral word for you today, and not so teaching heavy. And my challenge for you this year, 99, is to show up. You can't experience the life of our community if you're not here. You can't experience the life of our church just by listening to our podcast or by scrolling on our Instagram feed. The life of our church is here now when we're gathered together in this place. You know, I've become painfully aware that many of our church members, they only have a short window here in San Francisco. And I want you, for as long as you're here, to get the most of what God's doing in our city, the most of what God's doing here at 99, here in this community, but it's impossible for you to experience that if you're not here. You know, one thing I love and hate about being a small church is that when people don't show up, you actually feel it. Like, you know, just being really honest, it was getting a little depressing here in November, December last year because, you know, everyone was traveling. Everyone was with their family. The absences were really felt. And I hate it because it often feels empty for the people that are here. But on the flip side, I kind of love it because you know who's not there. You know, in a bigger church, it's hard to pinpoint who's missing. And I've been part of bigger communities where, oh, I didn't realize Josh didn't come today. Or I didn't realize that Ying was not here. In a bigger church, it's hard to pinpoint who's missing. But we're so small, this little ragtag group of rebels and runaways, that I could tell you off the top of my head who hasn't been here each week. And that's not to guilt trip you. I know it sounds like that. It's not to guilt trip you because you didn't show up. It's just to say, I actually feel your absence. I feel it when you're not here, Ying. Who's actually not here? I feel it when you're not here, Shel. Like, why did I write these names in here? Toby, I feel it when you're not here, man. I feel it when you're not here, Jonah, Austin. All the names are not here. It's funny. And I was thinking about this last night. How beautiful that we have the opportunity to be part of a community where we could actually feel each other's absence. How much more then are we able to feel each other's presence? On the flip side, when everyone shows up at 99, you really feel it. You don't get that at a mega church. It's always full. But here, it actually means something. Your presence actually matters. You know, I know we're a pretty young church and we're a post-pandemic church. And what that means is I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people where people are like, I can't believe I used to go to church every week. And that was kind of the reality before pandemic. But after, it's like once or twice a month, I did good, right? The nature and the landscape has changed. And I know a lot of you like to travel. I'm not saying don't do that. Like, you do you, boo. In fact, one of the best advice I could give to y'all before you have kids is travel, because it gets real hard and real expensive when you have these little mini yous running around. And so I'm not saying don't do that. But what I want to challenge you with this this year is this? What if this year, 99, we could just even a little bit be more intentional about showing up, to show up to our community groups, to show up to our Sunday services, to show up in each other's lives the way they need. You know, these Sunday gatherings are actually less about you personally connecting with God and more about you connecting with the body of Christ. It's less about you hearing the word of God for yourself and more about you receiving the word together as a community, going and living it out together. It's less about you singing your song of worship to God and more about you singing together with the choir of saints. Do you wonder why karaoke hits different with a group of friends than it does with you alone in the car or the shower? It's because when we sing together, we share in each other's joys. We share in each other's sufferings in ways that aren't possible alone. You know, while I'm on this tangent, let me just throw this in there. I have a dream. I don't know why I said that. It's because I'm okay today. But I have a dream. I really do have a dream that our community would show up and really show up. What I mean by that is for you to come on time. I don't know if you know that's where I was going. But let me put it this way. I was talking to a mentor, and I was asking him, like, what time do you show up for service on Sunday? And he says, I actually show up for service the night before. Because the time I go to sleep, the way I prepare myself, before I even walk through those doors, is just as important as me showing up. And I'm not saying, you know, you're not the pastor, I know. Like, you're not up at 11 a.m. freaking about what you're going to preach the next day like I was last night. I know you don't have to do that. But what if we could be intentional about the time here that is created, the space that is allotted for us to get together? You know, I swear the other week someone rolled in right when I said, amen, see you next Sunday, right? What if we could fully be here every moment that is available for us? You know, I get a little sad for our worship team. I don't really care because, you know, I'm an employee at this church, but I get sad for our worship team when they practice so hard and there's like three people when worship starts and it's usually Josh here in the front row, maybe Alyssa right there in the back. Right? I get a little sad for our baristas when they're here creating the space at 10:30 a.m. every morning for people to come and have coffee with each other, to talk and to catch up and to connect. You know, let's fill this space. When we show up, let's really show up. Let's create an environment that shows people who visit 99 for the first time that these are people who show up, who are present with one another. Imagine what God could do at 99 this year if we would simply commit to showing up. What beautiful relationships could be birthed. How many new people could find a home. How much God could transform and renew us. So that's my little spiel about showing up. And I'm not guilt tripping y'all. I'm not shaming y'all. But I want to challenge you. What if we can make this space a little more of a priority? What could God do among us this year? Now, I want to introduce a practice to you before we end. We've been talking about mindfulness, and I think this mindfulness really helps us be present in our relationship. It's called the concentric circles practice. If you could throw up the circles real quick. When you have time this week, I want you to create circles like this. And at the very center is your inner circle. These are the people you love the most, the people who are your ride or dies, the people who matter to you. It might be your partner. It might be your family members. It might be your best friends. And then imagine who would be in the circle on the outers, right? Maybe the next level is like my community group or my not best friend, but like still cool friend. And then maybe at the very end, it's like your coworkers. It could be people, your neighbors. I don't know. There's no real structure to this. You create what's helpful for you. But imagine the names that come to your heart and your mind and fill in the circles. And I want us to consider these questions. Sit down with God for like 3 to 5 minutes every day and just go through your circle, starting with your inner circle. And you don't have to touch upon every name. Ask God, is there a name or two that you want to highlight in this circle that you want me to focus on? And these are the questions that I want you to consider. How are things in my relationship with this person? Is our relationship healthy? Is there some work I need to do? Is there something I should be praying for in this relationship? And how can I show up for this person right now? And I really believe if we're mindful about doing this, practicing this at least a little bit every day, I really think our relationships will be so much richer. Imagine you're sitting down and you're thinking about in your inner circle, like, imagine Josh is my best friend. Not saying that he's not, but imagine Josh, he's in my inner circle. And God really highlights him to me. And I'm thinking, Josh, how is my relationship with him? Oh, like, we haven't really connected in a while. We haven't really talked about something serious in a minute. Maybe I could reach out to him. Maybe the way I could show up for him right now is to invite him out to a meal. Or what if we can do that every single day and be intentional about being present in our relationships, about showing up? But I really want us to focus on that last question. How can I show up for this person right now? Like I said, 99, like, y'all are so good at this, like, when it comes to each other's lives. And you know, you guys are really good with Sunday attendance too. I'm just trying to encourage and challenge you to do a little bit better. But y'all already do this so well. I just want to put language and a practice to how we can actually do this a little bit better. And so right now, I want to invite us to a time of response. Why don't we close our eyes? I want to do a bit of a visual exercise before we close. I want you to imagine a time in your life when someone you really needed didn't show up for you. And so why don't we close our eyes, and maybe some of you, maybe it was a parent or an authority figure. Maybe it was a best friend. Maybe it was a sibling. Maybe for some of you, like, it was God. Imagine a time where you really needed someone to show up and they didn't. Just take a moment to imagine what that was like, what you felt, what was going on in your mind and in your heart. What were some of the frustrations you were feeling? What was the pain that you were experiencing? Now, I want you to imagine, how did you need someone to show up for you in that moment? Was it just by presence? Was it someone even just showing a tiny bit of interest in you? Was it someone showing up with resources that you needed? Was it someone showing up with guidance? What did you need in that moment? How did you need someone to show up for you? And I want you to imagine in that moment, I want you to replay it again. And however you visualize God or Jesus, minus he can't be white Jesus because he wasn't white, but however you imagine Jesus or God, I want you to picture him showing up in the way that you needed in that moment. Showing up for you when you needed someone the most. Showing up for you in exactly the way that your heart needed. Saying the exact things that you needed to hear. Even visualize that conversation. What were the words you needed to hear? What was the gesture that you needed to experience? Was it an embrace? Was it something? Maybe you needed something. Imagine Jesus filling up that space, that void, and showing up how you needed. Whatever that was, I feel like the challenge of the Holy Spirit today is how you needed someone to show up for you is often the greatest gift that we can offer to people around us. The way that you needed people to show up in your life is often the greatest way that we could show up for people around us. And I want you to ask God, what's one way that I could show up for someone in my life in the way that I needed during that time? Who's someone that I can think of that comes to mind or heart that I can show up for in this very way that I needed when I was at my most vulnerable, when I was in need, when I was in darkness and brokenness? What's one way that I could show up for someone else in the way that I needed to? Just think about that right now. Think about who that might be in your life right now. God, we confess that you are the ultimate noticer. But not only are you just a noticer, you actually put action behind your words and your heart's intent. You actually show up. You embody your presence before us. I pray that we would be inspired, Jesus, to do the same. And for us who have experienced pain, who've experienced the lack of showing up in our lives, I pray that we would be the person that we needed when we needed the most for the people around us. So would you give us divine and creative strategies in how we could show up for the people that you've put on our hearts? Allow us to use these practices to be able to be intentional about being present in our relationships. And God, I am just so excited for this year here at 99. I believe that when we get together, you're going to show up. And I believe that when we show up for one another, you're going to do miraculous things among us. And so, God, we give you our hearts. We give you this commitment that we would be present before you and present before one another. We give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We say, amen.